The passage reading is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen.
사랑하는 성도 여러분, 또한 미국, 캐나다, 멕시코, Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 8,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, DR Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and GCN viewing audiences, Manmin TV viewing audiences. The title of today's message is Good Children. This message was actually to have been given for the 26th anniversary Sunday evening service. But because of the time constraints, I couldn't fully deliver the meaning given by God in this message. So I'm delivering this message once again. God gave us this message for the 26th anniversary evening service. And so I couldn't just deliver the message, so this time I'm delivering it again. Through this message, I hope you will understand what kind of a person a good child is in the sight of God. Also, I hope you will check how much goodness you have cultivated in your heart. It shouldn't be goodness that is seen on outside, but the goodness that is really cultivated in heart. God the Father wants more of good children, beginning with the 26th anniversary. He wants His workers to become good children, for they are the ones who accomplish God's works. It's because the more goodness they have in heart, the more of God's heart they can understand. Through this message, I hope more of you will come forth as truly good children. I pray in the name of the Lord that in doing so, you will be a delight in God's sight. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the kind of good children whom God desires is, first of all, those who don't have fleshly thoughts. What is fleshly thought? First, flesh is the sinful nature combined with the body. It's a sinful nature combined with the body. And fleshly thought is all kinds of thoughts that are generated by the sinful nature in the heart. If you have evil heart, and if you have untruth in your heart, it is generated through thoughts, as thoughts, and Satan is controlling this thought. Easily put, all untruthful thoughts and evil thoughts are fleshly thoughts. On the other hand, the thoughts that are generated by good attributes in heart are spiritual thoughts. Let me repeat. The thoughts that are generated by good attributes in heart are spiritual thoughts. And who controls these spiritual thoughts? It is controlled by the Holy Spirit. So He controls, He leads us to live by the desires of the Holy Spirit, and the fleshly thoughts lead us to live by the desires of the flesh, which is controlled by Satan. You may think you did it, but actually Satan is controlling your thoughts, moving your thoughts, to show it as action and words.
And if you show it as action, it is the work of the flesh. So please do not be deceived by the darkness, the world of evil spirits. For last 26 years, I have been being taught by God, and I know, I'm confident that I know about spiritual realm more clearly than, most clearly than anybody else. For the last 26 years, I've been being taught about the spiritual realm. And it is something natural that I should know clearly about spiritual realm. God wants His children to have only spiritual thoughts, not fleshly thoughts. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death." For example, in this church, you always listen to spiritual messages, but in other places, fleshly thoughts, they don't know what fleshly thought is. They don't know what mind set on the flesh is. They don't know what works of flesh are, what things of the flesh are. They just think they're the same thing. So they, how can they understand the word of God properly? For the mind set on the flesh is death. So many people have this fleshly mind. And in terms of salvation, it is death. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because you cultivate it in the spirit, it is your life, and you can go into heavenly kingdom, so you have peace. So whatever you think, see, or hear, you have peace. If you have peace, it means you are following the desires of the Holy Spirit. But that is something right, and that is something good, and you have to do it, so you did it. But if you have any discomfort in your heart, it means actually you are actually listening to the voice of Satan. You're following the desires of the flesh. Because you went against the desires of the Holy Spirit, you lose the peace and comfort and joy. And you have some worrisome things because you didn't follow the desires of the Holy Spirit. You have to realize that point. So mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So it is easy to distinguish. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. So mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, is enemy against God. Because it is controlled by Satan. So Satan never follows God's will. It always tries to stand against God, oppose God. So that's why mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. In the morning, I talked about this taxi driver, unbeliever, who brought the bag. And suppose you are driving the taxi, and suppose you are in the same situation. Somebody left the taxi with a bag. And it's not a Korean, it's a Chinese. And you open the bag and there is a 1,000,000 won. And those who are following spiritual thoughts, you don't have to think twice. Who is the owner? Who left it? You will be so worried about the owner. So you open the bag and there is a 1,000,000 won. And you don't have to think twice. You always follow a spiritual thought and you go to take the bag, give it back to the owner. But if you have two minds, or one side, oh, I have to give it back to the owner. Oh, the other side, oh, I have to pay back something. So maybe I can just pay it back with this money. So there is a desire of the Holy Spirit and desire of the untruth, desire of the flesh. And if the desire of the flesh wins, you will take the money for yourself. But if you follow the desire of the Holy Spirit, you'll give the, give it back to the owner. But the man of God who follow the desires of the Holy Spirit, who have spiritual thoughts, you don't have to have that kind of struggle. That is not yours. So you will obviously give it back to the owner, 100%. This is good heart. So mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. So in that case, you will just take the money for yourself. Some people, they pick up some money on the street and they say, oh, I have to pay back a certain amount of debt, and I prayed all night for this problem, and God let me pick this money up. They have a mind of thief, and they say it's the answer of God to their prayer. And will God give you in that way, take somebody else's money? He will give you in a legal and proper way. So you cannot subject itself to the law of God. People cause pain to themselves or to others because of fleshly thoughts that are different from the facts. Even in situations that are not really offensive, they become offended because of their own fleshly thoughts. Also, they may pass judgment and even condemnation on others. By doing so, the peace is broken, namely the peace between God and you and God and us and among ourselves, between other people. And furthermore, they may even have quarrels and arguments. For example, there is a woman who still has pride and envy. She thinks that she is recognized and loved by others more than they love one of her friends. A man of spirit, what would he do? What would she do? Even in this case, even if the other is recognized more than ourselves, will that itself will be our joy that other people are recognized more than us. If there is any misunderstanding, we will try to solve the problem. I met somebody and talking, and there were many words that could cause some misunderstanding because we had to talk a lot of things within a short period of time. But there shouldn't be any misunderstanding. If there is any discomfort, I cannot harbor him, that person, and I cannot pray for him. So when I met him today, as soon as I met him, I just listened to the explanation today, so I could harbor him and pray for him. So there, we shouldn't try to misunderstand. If you don't like anything, you can just reconcile with the other person. So she thinks that this person thinks that she is recognized and loved by others more than they love one of her friends. And one day, only her friend was invited to an important meeting. This woman was very curious about this meeting and asked her friend what happened there. But her friend, without telling her what had happened there in detail, only said, it was okay. This seems that she is avoiding the woman's question. In this case, this woman may become offended, thinking her friend is not treating her as she deserves to be treated. Also, because her friend was invited while she was not, she may think her friend is looking down on her. If this kind of thought develops, she may even condemn her friend, thinking she has become very arrogant. Then she may even convey her thoughts to others. So if you judge, the condemnation will follow. then she may even convey her thoughts to others. In this case, is what this woman thinks right? It is quite far from the truth. Most of her thoughts were fleshly thoughts that were generated from the untruth in her heart. The arrogance, envy, jealousy, and other things worked together to generate this kind of fleshly thought. Maybe her friend could not tell her in detail about the meeting because she was not supposed to talk about it, not because she looked down on anybody. In some meetings, it is confidential and you are not supposed to talk about the content of the meeting. And in other in that case, if somebody asks what they talked about, they have to keep quiet. They have to keep quiet. Oh, yes, we are friends, and what kind of secret do you have? Just please let me know. And you shouldn't be deceived, and you shouldn't deceive anybody, and you should not be deceived. Or maybe she really didn't have anything to say, other than it was okay. Perhaps something not good happened in the meeting, and she didn't want to talk about it, so she could only say it was okay. Maybe there was a quarrel or argument in the meeting, and she doesn't want to talk about it. She doesn't have to talk about it. So if somebody asks a question, then if she talks about it, that person might have negative impressions on those people who were in the meeting. So you want to keep quiet. If this woman had understood her friend's standpoint or heart, she wouldn't have been offended. So if you try to think in goodness in everything, you won't be offended by anything. She shouldn't have judged or condemned her friend. Even if she didn't know her friend's standpoint, she could just think in goodness and in spirit. Therefore, we can understand that fleshly thoughts do not come from anybody else, but only from our own evil. Most people cause pains themselves because of their own fleshly thoughts. Furthermore, they judge and condemn and even slander, causing quarrels and dissensions that break peace. God wants His children to have spiritual thoughts, not fleshly thoughts. Whatever we see or hear, God wants us to understand in goodness and have good thoughts and good deeds. In the above situation, even if the woman didn't hear the answer she wanted, she could have just said something warm from a warm heart. She didn't have to think any more than that, and she could have just been satisfied with what she was doing. But there are times when people think that they are having good thoughts while they are actually having fleshly thoughts. For example, suppose a person starts thinking that he only has minor duties. So he becomes a little disappointed with himself and then thinks, I am not capable of taking on greater duties. Even concerning the duty he has right now, he is willing to quit at any time, thinking that somebody else will do it better than he is doing. At this time, if he is abandoning his duty without any fleshly motive, purely thinking about the kingdom of God, then his heart will be full of peace and joy. But his heart is not full of peace and joy. Rather, he is sad and troubled. The fact of the matter is that he is disheartened and disappointed about his inability. We have to acknowledge that being disappointed is also a fleshly attribute. Therefore, wanting to abandon one's duty is also a fleshly thought coming from fleshly mind. Those who have spiritual thoughts more earnestly ask for God's strength when they feel their shortcomings and feelings of incompetence. They will have thoughts and true confessions of faith until the end, saying, not by my might, but with the power of God I can do it. Moses confessed his weakness, and God was angry with him. Those who have spiritual thoughts and good thoughts will not have any misunderstanding in anything, so it's easy to unite hearts and work comfortably with others. So among the workers, leaders, subordinates and leaders and bosses, there are people who with whom you are very comfortable. Some people, you have to be very careful whether or not that person will have a misunderstanding or be offended or get angry or things like that. So you have to watch that person all the time. Oh, some person, you are so comfortable with them, you don't have to care about anything, really. And for others, you have to be careful in everything. Now I hope more of you will cast off fleshly thoughts completely and have only spiritual thoughts. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will come forth as precious workers who will accomplish important works of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the second aspect of good children of God is good children give comfort to other people's hearts. It's comfortable to interact with those who have good hearts. On the other hand, it's not comfortable to interact with those who have evil hearts. Their feelings are hurt even with small things, and their evil shows in their facial expressions, tone of voice, and their actions. Even if they say it's okay with them, people around them can feel the uncomfortable feelings from them. And we should realize that we cause discomfort to others as much as we have evil in our heart. Let me give you an example of arrogance among the evil attributes. Arrogance is to consider ourselves better than others. And even if we are not better, we try to look like we are better than others. Therefore, he who is arrogant cannot unite his heart with others in doing some work together. He thinks that his opinion is better than others' opinions, and he insists that they follow his way. So they have a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts. So they use their own wisdom and utilize a lot of thoughts to consider others lower than themselves. And after all, they are all works of Satan. They think they are thinking with their wisdom, but it is from evil heart, evil thoughts. So they are controlled by Satan. Also, the words and actions show that they look down on others. That causes others' feelings to be hurt or even break their heart. Some people have listened. So who would want to stay with this kind of person? The man of spirit? You want to stay close to a man of spirit. Nobody has to tell you to. But men of flesh, they also want to follow. They should want to follow and take after the example of men of spirit. But the men of flesh, they like men of flesh. They like hanging around and they talk about bad things about others and receive the works of Satan and bring down the works of Satan. It is such an evil heart and thought. You should try to stay close and learn from a man of flesh. You should have this kind of good heart, but you just follow men of flesh and you meet with men of flesh who are evil and share the evil words together and receive the works of Satan. And hearing such a word, you follow, some of you follow them. Some people have listened to the word of God for a long time, so they don't show their arrogance on the outside. But when they have a position in the church and they have authority behind them, they should really check themselves. For example, suppose a person has become a leader of an organization, whether it is big or small. Being elected as the leader means that his work was officially recognized as being better than the work of others. Also, he may have to exercise certain authority for the order of the organization. Therefore, in proceeding with a certain work, the leader may propose his idea and insist that everyone follow it. When the leader is able to quickly make a judgment on the situation and proceeds with the work with determination, sometimes people say he has good leadership skill. But when the leader exercises this kind of strong leadership, some people in that organization may feel uncomfortable about it. They may feel that the leader is being too coercive and commanding. They follow him because the work itself is for the kingdom of God and to save souls. But they do it by feeling forced. They do not voluntarily follow the leader. Some people, some bosses, they don't know. They know less than their subordinates, and they still command and give commands. So the subordinates have to follow. They're so uncomfortable in heart, but they have to follow because it's the order, because they are the boss. This kind of situation happens when the leader does the work with his own righteousness and framework that is connected with the evil attribute called arrogance. This leader has strong self-righteousness and frameworks, thinking that the people have to follow his way for the souls. But because this righteousness and frameworks are interconnected with his evil nature called arrogance, it gives a hard time to other workers. But those who are really good in heart do not cause any difficulties or trouble for other workers, no matter how high their positions go up and how much authority they have. It's because they have the humbleness, the opposite attribute of arrogance. Those who are humble consider others better than themselves, and they serve everybody in everything. They become the leader not because of physical and fleshly attributes like knowledge or experience, but by the word of God that says the one who serves is the greater. They respect and serve even very lowly persons from the heart. They don't judge or condemn even those who have committed sins. They think from the viewpoint of others and have mercy on the weak-mindedness of others. They treat others with love and generosity in all things and show grace to them. They store up good deeds that come from a good heart for everybody in all matters. According to the amount of goodness stored, other people's hearts will be turned toward this humble leader. So when this leader wants to do something for the kingdom of God, many people would volunteer to do it, even if he simply mentions it in passing. Even though the work itself is physically demanding, they want to participate with joy. When we do something in the church, especially with the money of God, is even more sensitive. We have to think again and again. And when we follow the pleasing will of God, we'll be happy. It'll be joyful. Even the workers will be happy. And even the leader, even the one who is giving the instructions, even the one who is giving the command, if you don't really know about the details, and if you are the leader, and you have to ask your subordinates, workers, and from other people, you have to learn it. Also, you have to discuss it with other people. How is it with you? Are you a person who gives comfort to your family members, colleagues, and other workers? By any chance, are you giving them any discomfort? If a man has a very good heart, other people will feel the warmth just by thinking about it. They can gain strength through him, thinking that is how a man of God should be. I hope you will become such good workers and lead a great many souls into goodness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the third aspect is that good children of God seek the benefit of others. The nature of goodness is to give and share. Those who have goodness abundantly in their heart will keep on giving their possessions. They do not seek their own benefit, but the benefit of others, and they are always considerate of others. On the other hand, the evil nature tries to hold on to one's own things while taking even more. Whether it is wealth, fame, or social power, it's all the same. They feel like they will live only when they hold on to those things. But God the Father has given His beloved Son to save sinners. It was not just a simple death, but He took the wretched sufferings of the cross. God sacrificed Himself completely for sinners. The reason why God could do it was because God is goodness itself. Therefore, when He sees His children seek the benefit of others, He is very pleased. If you follow goodness and have good words and deeds and attitudes, God will be pleased. Not only for a moment, but if you do it constantly, always, then God will be so happy. If the Father is happy, you'll be loved by Him. And if you are loved by Him, there won't be any problem to which we cannot receive the answer. We'll have impossible will become possible, and possible will become better. As I always tell you, when God commands me anything, physically it is something impossible most of the times. Physically, there is nothing that is easy or easy to do that we can do. In physical sense, God tells me to do it, which are impossible to do it in physical sense. But I just say amen and obey it, and we see that impossible turns into possible. We've been seeing this, witnessing this for the last 26 years. Even impossible turns into possible. And the possible things, they become better. And if you please God, it's all the same in the business or any other things. Even if there is a problem, we'll soon realize that it was the way to lead us to better prosperity. If there were many problems, there should be the will of God. And later, after all those things are passed, you can see that, like Joseph, you are prosperous. In physical sense, Joseph was in problem. All the time he was in trouble. But the Bible says he was prosperous. But later, we can see that it was really the prosperous way. Furthermore, when he sees his children sacrificing themselves for others, he'll be moved in heart. I hope you will be able to stand before God as good children who seek the benefit of others in all matters. I urge you to check whether you are really good children who seek the benefit of others through the following example. This case is when the result of your work or the event you took charge was either good or bad. In case of men of flesh, when they achieve something in their work or duty, they give the credit to themselves. On the other hand, they try to shift the blame to others, and they tend to shirk accepting responsibility if something goes wrong. But a good child of God will not do that. When the result is good, he gives the credit to other workers and gives thanks to them from the heart. He doesn't do it thinking that acting that way is goodness, because he truly considers each co-worker precious. He gives thanks to them. If the result of the task is not good, he doesn't put the blame on anybody else but himself. Some people, when they are to be blamed, they always talk about somebody else. He can just take the blame. He can just receive the rebuke or the pointing out, but he just always talks about somebody else. Not you people here. Even though it is evident that it was because of somebody else's fault, he thinks I should have cared for him more. I should have strengthened him more. Then he could have done better. Also, in taking responsibility for his work, he can accept any kind of disadvantage toward him. If another weaker person is able to survive without losing his strength, he'd sacrifice of himself by taking the responsibility. And in the history, I can't think of his name right away, but Huang He, he was the prime minister at the time of Sejong the Great. He was almost to be politically doomed because of the schemes of other people. He was on the, easily put, he was in the trial, court trial, and if he was proven innocent, God would use him again, the king would use him again, but otherwise, he would have to resign. And the verdict was that he was guilty. And Huang He said, even if I go through something like this, once again, if what I have done is condemned as a sin, crime, even if I have to go through it again, I will still act that way, act this way, because it was something good. Maybe other people may curse him, blame him, but it was to save one person. It was to save a person. So even in the same situation, I do the same thing. And most people didn't understand what really happened. But finally, he was such an innocent man, pure hearted. So he finally became a very well-known prime minister for Sejong the Great. This is what a man of goodness who seeks others' benefit, not his own, will do. Since the opening of the church, I have always given glory to God for all the good things that took place. Whether I eat or drink or whatever I do it all for the glory of God. If there is anything that blocks the grace of God, if there is anything that disgraces God, I cannot even imagine disgracing God. And if a church member disgraces God, then I offered many peace offerings on behalf of them to have peace with God the Father, between the church and God, and between the church members and God. I gave a peace offering to God many times. Next, I gave thanks to the people who worked together. When there was a problem, I first repented before God, saying, God, it's all my fault. I taught them wrong, and I didn't care for them enough. And I offered with all my heart peace offerings to have peace with God completely. In Colossians 1:24, the Apostle Paul confessed, Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. The Apostle Paul could willingly take any kind of hardship or sufferings if only the souls could revive and the church of the Lord could increase. Today, we are in desperate need of workers who can willingly sacrifice themselves for the souls and the kingdom of God. If one's good work is not revealed, and if he is frequently taking the responsibility for the things that went wrong, others may think less of him. But God, who sees the heart, will say, such a person is really good. God will consider him to be a great vessel. If God considers him as a great vessel, he'll be used greatly. Everyone will be used according to the vessel. Who is God? What kind of God is God? He is so precious. He is so accurate. So he will use big vessels for big purposes, small vessels for small purposes. For the remainder of this year, I hope you will be acknowledged by God as truly good vessels. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today's reading passage, Romans 12:2 says, And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And I told you three aspects of good children whom God desires. First, they don't have fleshly thoughts. Second, they give comfort to others. And third, they seek the benefit of others. If you understand the good will of God like this, it is a pleasing will of God to practice what we know. I always teach you the good will of, the pleasing will of God in the pastors' conferences all the time, but I've never seen anybody obeying. There are so many pastors, opened many churches, but I've never seen obeying. And you might not misunderstand what the good will of God is, so let me give you an example. When I opened the church, before the opening of the church, I also did some thinking. I have my nephew, my sister, my brother, and in Seoul alone, there were about 40 people who could come right away if I opened the church. They're close relatives, not far away. My uncle or cousin or nephews and nieces, there were about 40 of them. But before the opening of the church, the pastor of the church to which I used to attend before opening, one elder said, Pastor, please do not open. My son opened the church and he ate rice porridge for 10 years. It's such a difficult thing. And he couldn't send his children to school. So you should never think about opening a church. Just be an assistant pastor of this church. What will you lack? There won't be anything you will lack. So I just smiled. In my heart, I would say, of course not. I didn't have to say, oh, I can do better. I can do it. Or I just smiled, but on the inside, I can do it by the help of God and by the help of the Lord, I can do very well. I was confident, even though I didn't have experience. So in the senior year of seminary, I opened the church in the second semester. And after opening the church, those 40 people I thought about, they didn't come. Of course, they promised me, but they didn't come. And I asked them. They had reasons. Oh, they had a position in the church and things like that. So, and since then, after that, Senior Deaconess Jeong-sun Lee, she came to our church for the first time among the relatives because she was wrongfully accused in her church, previous church. It was a Methodist big church. And she was wrongfully accused of something very strange. She was working in a house and the ring went missing. And they were attending the same church and the owner of the house accused her that she stole the ring and they told the pastor and the pastor accused her also in the sermon. And she came to me and asked me what to do. And Senior Deaconess Jeong-sun Lee, she is not a person who can steal anything. She always used to give to God all the time and she used to pray, live her life with prayer. And why would she covet something like a ring? But they would wrongfully accuse. And the pastor also accused her in the sermon, so she couldn't bear it there because other people would think of her as a thief. But still, I didn't tell her to come to my church. I just told her to leave it to God's will. I didn't say, oh, so you can come to our church. But when the time came, she couldn't bear anymore and she came. And that's how she came. But other people, they didn't come. I never asked them to come again. Before the opening, I asked them to come and help me. But after opening the church, actually, I never asked anybody to come to our church. And Senior Deaconess Jeong-sun Lee, she came only in the when we were in the old sanctuary after a long time. So all those plans, they didn't go right. So I realized immediately, relying on man, God is not so pleased with relying on man. So I have to rely on God completely. Because I thought about having church members with the fleshly ways, I realized it was so bad before God. And as I realized the good will of God, so I never asked anybody else, anybody to come to our church, my relatives, or to help me. And then there were many interesting things. Behind our church, the first church, one of my brothers, siblings, one of my siblings among the six, somebody bought this 62 pyeong of land behind our church. About 30, 40 meters away. That person promised me to give it to me once I opened a church. So we thought he would give to me. So we circled around the place 12 times that we wanted to take it, like Jericho. But soon he changed, and he didn't want to give me. So I realized once again. And even on this one, I relied on man. I can rely on God alone. And why did I rely on man? And why would I have to face this problem? Because we believed and it didn't work out. So it was our trouble. So I realized once again, the good will of God is not to have our own thoughts, not to have our own plans. It's not dead, but only by the plan of God, by the guidance of God, we have to follow. Then, to do that, the only thing is prayer. We have to pray and receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And through our prayer, God has to answer us. This is the good will of God. And through those a series of incidents, I imprinted it in my heart. So after coming back from the seminary school, we prayed until the sweat soaked, until we became soaked with the sweat. My wife, pastor, president, and other church members, we prayed so fervently. And so it was so fun, actually. We began with nothing. And every week, we had the equipment for the church. When we didn't have the bell tower, we received it. Next week, we had the microphones. Next, we had the telephones. And after Friday online service, there was somebody who contacted us from Changdong, or northern part of Seoul. Somebody visited our church Friday online service, and she was so impressed, and she wanted to give a telephone. And then next week, there was the telephone. And every time through prayer, so I communicated with God so clearly. And after the prayer, together, God would say, I will give you blessing. And there was one blessing. And I give you blessings. And there, blessings and blessings, there were two things. And if he said blessings, blessings, and blessings, there were three things, because we didn't have any money. Those things were great blessings together at that time. Today, maybe it's not really worth much. But because we didn't have anything, I didn't receive any salary. First week, we had about 40,000 won, which is about $40 offerings, and we couldn't buy anything. And so I would just proclaim beforehand, God will give us two things or three things this week, because there was the word of God. Later, I realized that according to how many times God says blessing, there were the number of items given. So this is how it is so fun to open a church, because we're receiving the answers from God. We pray so hard, fervently, and we get soaked with the sweat, and we didn't have a bathtub or anything in such a small place. In the summer days, we just took some water and just tried to wash it off. But every week, we received answers from God, and every week we had newcomers. And through prayer, we moved the throne of God, and we moved God. And that's how we came until this day to have this big church. And if we understand the good, we understood the good will of God, we just obeyed, relying on man for finance. God was not pleased with that, so we just prayed so that God could lead us. And that is how we have been marching on until this day. And so even in such difficult situations, I never borrowed from anybody. I never asked for help for anybody. Even for the kingdom of God, I never asked for help. Because the man of God should please God. If you just believe in God and cry out in prayer to God, then how can God just stay silent? He has to give the answer. And the perfect will of God is for us to continue such deeds without stopping. If you change in the middle after 1 year without changing, we have to do the will of God. Therefore, I hope you will keep this message in your heart and practice it from heart without changing in the middle. Those who have good hearts can accept many souls with their generous heart. They can also give grace to many souls and lead them to life, goodness, and spirit. If all our pastors have such a good heart, how happy and spirit-filled our church members would be. Yesterday, I met a pastor of another denomination. He wanted to meet me since a long time ago, so he was I considered him as a good man, and I met him in my house yesterday. He's in his 50s, about 56. He showed me his resume, and he went to many theological seminaries, also studied in the United States, and he has a lot of knowledge, a lot of education. He did learn many kinds of theology, Methodist, Baptist, Wesleyan. And I asked him, many people say, I'm heretic, and why do you choose me? Why do you come to me? He says he read 21 books of mine, and he listened to many messages, and he also attended worship services here. And I asked, there will be so many differences between what you have learned and what I'm teaching, and especially in the lecture of Genesis, and why do you choose our church, and why do you want to follow me? Why do you want to help me? And I asked him, and he said, it is unconditional. The word that comes out from my mouth, all the books and all the messages, he just believes 100%. And where is this kind of word? This word is the true interpretation of the Bible. It cannot come out from any man's mouth. It can revive so many dying souls, and even so many pastors around the world, they don't understand the true word of God, so they cannot teach the true things. And this is the word. Many people say, you can stop sinning in action, but we cannot cast away sins in heart. But I teach, he says that, but you teach that we can cast away sins in heart also. This is the truth. According to the Bible, we can see it's true. Not only sins in actions, but we can also circumcise our heart. Even our Lord emphasized so much. The people in the Old Testament, according to the teachings of Moses, they teach, but they don't act. They teach, do not murder, but they have hatred. They hate others. But God tells us to circumcise our heart, to sanctify our heart. That is the truth. But nowhere in the world teaches that way. But in this church, we teach it, and he knows that this is the truth, and this is life. That is why he's all his household, all his family members, all his church, he wants to come under Manmin Church. If the church members don't follow him, he will just come by himself. So, I realized that God sent this kind of good pastor also, because the time is coming, because there are many things to do. He looks like he's such a good man. He acts so humbly. And so I even to the extent that I was became embarrassed. If all our workers have such a good heart, what a great strength they would be for the church and the senior pastor. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will take this message as life and strength, and come forth as good children whom God desires. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become faith and life. Father, let us have good heart. God the Father is good, and He wants His children who have good hearts. Let us understand the good and pleasing and perfect will of God, and let us continuously act in the truth of God. Father, bless us so that we'll not just listen, but we'll have the following deeds and become really good children of God. Lord, thank you. In the name of the Lord our Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'll pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. Please receive the prayer for the desires of their hearts. Hallelujah. Father God, please lay your hands on them. Show your work transcending time and space. Bless all the churches, branch churches, local sanctuaries, members who are attending the service through satellite all over the country, and all those children of God who are attending the service through internet all over the world, and OGCN viewers and Mamin TV viewers, and all overseas missionaries, pastors, and church members. And also there are photos with prayer requests. Lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Father God, Dr. Mihail Morgulis will have the Handkerchief Crusade in Minsk, Belarus on November 14th and 19th, Cherkasy of Ukraine, and 22nd in Kiev, Ukraine. Father, give him power, power, power. And let many patients attend this Handkerchief Crusade and let them be healed, and let the politicians of the country, let there be nobody who is disturbing this, these works, and let there be, it is a country, it is a, that prohibits preaching and spreading of the gospel. And Father, through this Handkerchief Crusade, let there be, let the fire of the Holy Spirit be burning. And all, be with all the, mission teams of the church, and also missionary Joseph Han of India has the 9th anniversary service, and also Handkerchief Crusade and Pastor's Conference. And some of the state government ministers have sent their congratulations for the pastor's conference. And Father, show your work. Let it be a great Handkerchief Crusade and pastor's conference, and give them good wealth. And neighboring country, Taesung Kim is offering a 21-day fasting from November 17th to December 7th. Let him accomplish sanctification and receive the power of God, and to fulfill his duty as a missionary and become a great strength and joy to the senior pastor. And Xu Suqing, wants her husband, Bu Xingyang, to be forgiven of idolatry and let his faith grow up. Father, forgive him of worshiping idols, and also her son, Bu Wonbin, is to be healed of schizophrenia. Father, heal him. Drive away these mental disorders. Chun Minje, let his brother, Chun Sungje's wedding go well in peace and good weather on the 18th. And let his father, student pastor Chun Eun-gwang, to guide the members in the space of the shepherd, and let his family have peace and save, let them save more souls, and for the church to grow up. And also, Father God, Let there be no cold or coughing or flu. Father, all cold go away, all flu go away, all fever go away, all coughs go away, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. All children to elderly adults, all cold and fever and flu and everything go away, be burnt from the original root and be cleansed. Father, give them health. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. And heal all the internal organs, internal diseases, skin diseases, itchiness. Heal them. All kinds of diseases, germs, go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and go away. Father, protect them. Give them prosperity throughout this week and protect them in all aspects. Bless them throughout this week. Father, pour down your blessings on them. Drive away poverty and give them richness and bless their workplaces and businesses so that their tithes will bless them whether they come in or go out. Let them lend but not borrow. Let them become the head. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.